Welcome back, everyone, to Dates, Mates, and Babies with the Valentins. We are off and running. We are deep into our sex series. Well, yep. Not super deep, but we're having fun.
Hopefully, this is our second weekend.
Yeah, hopefully you guys have really enjoyed it. We're stoked about it.
We are. Today, we are actually going to be talking about sex before marriage. Jason and I are just the two of us in the studio today. We're going to have a conversation about sex before marriage, because we know that a lot of you guys listening are single and or not married. And this is an important topic. It's an important topic to cover because a lot of people find themselves in this situation where they're wondering why, especially if you've been waiting for a long time. And we want to talk a little bit about it because, golly, when you have vision, mm-hmm. right? When you understand, when you have vision, the quote pain of waiting, there's purpose in it. There's real purpose. And so we're going to talk about the ins and outs of this.
Yeah. I really like talking about it from every angle, mm-hmm. right? I think when we were kids growing up in my culture, yep. not in your culture a lot, but in my culture, a lot of kids grew up with their parents just saying, just don't. It's against, you know, God's rules. And,
yeah.
and the parents weren't like that outwardly, like, you just don't because it's a rule. But that was the overall theme. And so I had a whole bunch of friends in high school that once they got into high school were basically just kind of rebelled against their parents.
Right.
Because their home was really controlling and, you know, all that stuff. But yeah. I do also think the biblical perspective is really important.
Yes.
And so today we want to cover all of that. We want to talk about the biblical perspective, but why the Bible talks about not, and what yeah. actually happens, and what to do if, you know, if you've yeah. lived a life where you've had premarital sex.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, first things first, right? Like we can do a quick overview mm-hmm. of the biblical perspective on sex before marriage. Ultimately, what we have to understand is God's design for covenant. We have to understand what God's design for marriage is. And it says in Genesis 2 that a man leaves his father and mother, is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. So, you know, sexual intercourse is actually viewed as a physical expression of covenant. And it is to be enjoyed in the context of marriage. Yeah. And we know all over the place, God emphasizes purity and holiness. And in places like 1 Thessalonians 4, in 1 Corinthians 6, in lots of places in the New Testament, we're told that we're to avoid sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. And sex before marriage is included in that list of sexual immorality. What we know about that is because of what God says about sex being for the context of marriage. So yeah. ultimately we want to honor God's design. And I just want to read this. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Ultimately, by abstaining from sex before marriage, we're honoring God's design for intimacy and relationships. And where I think the church has gotten it wrong in the past, and you're alluding to this, babe, is when we throw a blanket over sex before marriage and we say, it's just not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
I think what is so important to realize is that wherever God actually gives us a commandment yeah. or lays down a rule, it's because he has our good in mind. So what we know is that the covenant of marriage is such a strong bond. It mm-hmm. is a two flesh becoming one. And the act of sex being that physical act of covenant expression, there's so much power in that bond
yeah.
that it's actually safely experienced inside the context of marriage. And we talk about how you know, we teach this a lot when we talk about boundaries and relationships. We say, and even in dating, our dating episodes, we've said, hey, listen, to protect your own heart, to protect your soul, we never want our intimacy levels to surpass our covenant levels, our commitment levels, rather, yeah, commitment. And our trust. So if our commitment is low and our trust levels are low, sexual intimacy is going to wreak havoc on a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because sex is designed by God. In the Bible, we read sex is designed by God to be a powerful bonding agent between a husband and a wife. So if you meddle around in that with somebody that you're casually dating, there are major implications on what happens inside of your inside of your heart when that level of intimacy is experienced where you don't have commitment from the other partner. You're left so vulnerable and so exposed in the deepest parts of who you are. It's not safe. So we have to understand that when God lays down a rule, it's not for rule's sake. Yeah. It's because he actually loves us. Yeah. So that context is everything. And I think if parents could explain that to their high schoolers, I mean, we'd be at least like five steps ahead, right?
Yeah. There's, there's so many different dynamics to it. The one thing that's really cool is when you're growing up, as you're growing up, you are forming the person that you're becoming. And a lot of what forms and shapes us is that delayed gratification, right? Like, yes. How do you build a physically strong person through resistance, right? And it's in the resistance, it's in lifting those weights over and over and over again that you build physical strength. Well, how do you build emotional strength? Mm. You build emotional strength through, again, like not letting your desires run your life, but learning how to focus and meditate on what's holy, what's pure, what's praiseworthy. Mm-hmm. It's having the fruit of the Spirit in your life, right? And then, like, how do you build strong relationships? Well, you build strong relationships through your ability to steward your own desires, your own emotions, through the connecting to someone else, through being a trustworthy, safe person. And so, like, when I think about our kids who are young, they're in the middle of this battle. They're in the middle of this war, and the war is for their desires, right? Where are you going to put your affection? Mm. And we see this happen a lot. That's why, like, we're very careful about how much we let our kids watch shows. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we don't want them to become addicted to the shows, right? We don't want their affection to be turned so much towards TV that they no longer can experience real life and real connection and real bonding. And so that's what happens with video games, right? Like, kids get stuck on that. And I'm talking about our sex life, but kids get stuck on video games and they become fixated on a false rush, a false reality. And all they ever want to do, because it's so addicting, right? You're getting such a high dopamine hit, is that all they want to do is play video games. And they become this person who doesn't know how to delay gratification. This person wants an instant fix that always needs this rush. Well, the same thing happens. Like, we're building strong character, honorable human beings. That's what we're developing and building with our kids. And so their ability to delay gratification, their ability to stand for something, their ability to have a strong, healthy morals is what sets them up for the rest of their life.
Yep.
And if they can't build strong morals, then everything else that they do in their life begins to crumble and fail. And so it's so different when you have someone come into a relationship that says, I live by virtues and values. So let's start there. I live my life by virtues and values. I don't make decisions based upon my emotions. I don't make decisions based upon what everyone else is doing.
Right.
I am following God's lead in my life and my own convictions in my life. Could you imagine what would happen if you're listening to this in your life, if you followed God's lead and your convictions? What type of life would you live? Well, you would live a life that is noble, right? That's honorable, that is respectable. And what happens is now you have high self-esteem.
Yeah.
Now you have high confidence. Now you have good work ethic. Now you believe in yourself. Now you feel like a whole person. And when you start to violate that, when you start to violate God's principles in your life, what happens is you have low confidence, low self-esteem. You need someone else to give you confidence. You need someone else to validate you. You're looking for someone else to make you feel secure. And all of a sudden, your own worth and value is based upon what people say, how they treat you, you know, what external motivators. And listen, when your life is based upon that, it's a short time before you don't like your life. You don't feel powerful and you don't have peace in your life.
Yes.
And so to me, like this whole topic, sex before marriage, is one of those that you're talking about. No, are you developing and harnessing and growing yourself into a noble, virtuous human being that's full of character where you follow God's lead in your life and your convictions?
Yeah.
That you can't put a price on that.
Right.
And so to me, it's like, yes, the scriptures say this, but how do you build a virtuous human being? How do you build a moral human being? How do you build character into your life? You do that by not violating your conscience. And so to me, like a lot of the sex before marriage conversation is less about the act, which I'm not taking the value off of that, but I'm emphasizing right now, and more about how are you building yourself into a man or woman of character that can be trusted.
Yeah.
I have a bunch more to say about it.
Well, whatever else you want to say.
Well,
this is so good. This is exactly what we need to be talking about.
Yeah. To me, okay, the other piece too is when you're in a relationship with someone and that relationship becomes hypersexual, right? Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, you're with someone and then all of a sudden, like week one, week two, you guys are making out, you're feeling each other, you're doing all the things. It's, you're self-gratifying, right? I am gratifying myself in just quickly. What happens in that relationship is your judgment now becomes very, very clouded. It's, do I like you because I like you, or do I like you because of how you make me feel?
Exactly.
And in a relationship where I like you because of how you make me feel, what then starts to happen is I don't want to lose that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose you. And I don't, so I have a very hard time setting hard boundaries. I have a very hard time expressing what my needs are because I don't want to disappoint you. And I don't want to lose this thing that's making me feel so good. And so, you know, and also on top of that, I'm telling you what you want to hear, not what we've developed over time. So I'm saying things like, I love you. You know, you're the only woman that makes me feel like this. And all of a sudden it puts us into this performance mode, right?
Yeah.
It's like, there's no way that you could possibly love me because love isn't a feeling. Love is a choice. And I don't even know enough about you in order to actually choose whether or not I want to attach myself to you for the rest of our life, whether or not I love your values and virtues. Because here's the thing, if you're a believer and you don't believe that having sex before marriage is okay, but then you're going and you're doing those things, what you're actually saying is that you don't have the ability to control yourself. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, not only am I living in guilt and shame, but I'm telling you that you are more important than my virtues, my values, what I really think I should be doing.
Uh-huh.
And so here's the big challenge for guys. I say this all the time, is the number one thing that a man wants in a relationship is he wants respect. But you want someone to do something for you that you don't even do for yourself. I want Lauren to respect me, but if I'm not living respectable, I'm wanting you to respect me when I don't actually respect me.
Right.
It's impossible.
Exactly.
And then I feel insecure around you, and then I'm having to do other things to try to prove to you that I'm a respectable man. But the whole time inside, I actually don't feel worthy of your respect because I'm walking around feeling guilt and shame.
Yep.
And so guilt and shame becomes the driver in my life. And then now that's driving me back to, you know, violating my relationships because I feel insecure. It's our sex drive is only a small part. Our actual physical sex drive, the hormones in our body, is only a small part of what drives us to sexually connect, like the testosterone and those hormones released in our body. The rest of that is often our insecurities, my need for comfort and connection. Mm-hmm. And so the relationships get really twisted really fast is what I'm saying. When Absolutely. You start to have a hyper sexual relationship, people stay in them so long, they turn volatile. You shortcut the process of building good, strong, healthy communication because you're trying to solve what's supposed to be built through, you know, our delayed gratification through struggles and trials yeah. and building trust. You're trying to solve that with sex.
Yes. And bottom line, because in that sex is designed for marriage, in that sex is designed for covenant. In a covenant, we are in it for what we can give,
yes,
not what we can get. If you go about covenant any other way, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work if you're in a covenant for yourself.
Yeah, that's a contract.
Yes, it's a business deal. And so
what I can get out of it is a contract. A covenant is what I can give.
That's right.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify for people.
That's right. And so when you're not in covenant and you're engaging in sexual activity, it is not about what you can give somebody else. It yeah. is about what you can get. And you actually just cannot have a healthy, thriving, trust-filled relationship with another human if that is your context. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. So here's another question. Is, let's say for the listener who's going, totally, but I'm not actually having sex with people that I'm just dating. What's wrong with just having sex? Because it does feel good. As long yeah. as we both agree, we're not actually in it for the long haul. We're mm-hmm. not actually in it because we're in a committed relationship of any kind. What's wrong with just having sex because it feels good?
Yeah. Are you asking me?
Yeah. I'm saying, I think that's a reality out there is like, there's a lot of people that just recreationally yeah. have sex.
Yeah,
and the problem with that,
it's about the high body count, right? Like, so a lot of people nowadays are talking about their body count as if it's something to brag about. Here's the challenge is when you bond with somebody like that, it's like, imagine attaching yourself, gluing two boards together. And then we've all done this before, especially men. If you've worked on a project, you glued something together and then you go and you rip it apart later on because you got to fix it or whatever. And that board never glues the same again back to that other board. It's, you have pieces of this board stuck yeah. to this board. And so you build up all this bondage and yeah. you build up all these weird attachments to people. And then you're carrying that around forever. Here's the other piece is like, imagine that. Have you ever got a present that you knew was regifted?
Right.
You're not like, oh my gosh, you thought about me. You saved this for me. You went out of your way to give me something that's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happens. And so when everyone in the world gets to sleep with your woman, you're not like, I'm getting she is saving herself just for me.
Right.
It actually becomes this devalue, right? Because you're opening and wrapping and opening and wrapping and opening and wrapping.
Yeah.
What makes our relationship so special? One of the things is that I don't share it with everyone.
Right.
You're the only woman in the entire world that I can point my sex drive at.
Right.
And it becomes this connection, this bond between us that no one else gets to see. It's part of the intimacy in the trust and yeah. the value inside of our relationship. And again, like when you go and you just sleep around, you are getting your most intimate needs met in a way that is so unhealthy that eventually you lose sight of the value of human connection and human relationship. You just see people as a way to get your own needs fulfilled.
Right.
And so, you know, your life just spins down this selfish way. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about something. In the mm-hmm. 1970s, you see, that was when the sexual revolution mm-hmm. happened, right? And it came out of men and women being tired of religion and, you know, their mom getting dressed in a closet. A lot of our great, great grandparents slept yeah. in separate beds.
Mm-hmm.
Women got dressed in a closet. There's a bunch of shame around sex and sex inside of marriage, a bunch of shame.
Yeah.
And so much modesty, like harsh modesty. And so out of that, children started to go, forget this. Like, I don't want to be put under the thumb of not just religion, but these rules and regulations.
Right.
And so, you know, you had all these women burning bras. If you guys remember that, you had Woodstock that happened and the result. So now we have a real picture of what was the effect of free love, because what was happening is our society was saying love should be free. People should share their bodies and, fun. And we got to push all these rules away. Well, fast forward 20 years. So 1970 and 1990, you have all these kids being born out of wedlock because women are getting pregnant, but they're getting pregnant outside of a committed relationship.
Yeah.
And what happens is the guys don't go, oh, well, now I'm going to take responsibility. Now I'm going to work really hard to take care of you. Now we're going to get married and we're going to build a beautiful family. That's not what happens. Guys go, well, I didn't want that. And women go, well, I don't want it either. So the abortion rate spikes. Mm-hmm. But also on top of that is you have single mothers and kids being born outside of wedlock and kids being born outside of having a dad at home. And the effects of not having a dad in the home is the suicide rate spikes, incarceration spikes, homelessness spikes, crime spikes, because you have all these kids being born inside of a painful relationship.
Yeah.
You have broken homes. And so, man, it's not even like, it's like the effect of people self-gratifying is you're putting the penalty, you're making kids pay the price ultimately because of your selfish decisions. And I know I'm talking like in extremes, but this is literally what happens. So we live in the most fatherless generation that's ever been alive, mm-hmm. where our dads aren't at war. No, they're just not home because they don't want to take on the responsibility of a family.
That's right.
And because of that, our world is a broken, painful, stressed out, maxed out world. We were designed to live in family. And when you self-gratify, when you live this life for what you can get out of it, you make kids pay the price. You make everyone else pay the price.
Yeah.
And you ultimately are stuck in a life that you don't love.
Right. One of my, this might seem off topic, but one of my favorite resources about human sexuality is actually, it's God's Design for Sex by Dr. Stan Jones.
Oh yeah.
There's a book series for parenting actually, where there's a age appropriate conversation to have with your child, for sexual education. Mm-hmm. He's brilliant. He's like our dad's age, maybe a little bit older, and just has a lot of resources on human sexuality and, God's Design for Sex. But on his website, which is christiansexed.com, under the Biblical Foundations tab, you can find all of these amazing, concise notes on God's view of human sexuality, mm-hmm. how we were created in the image of God, what are the implications of that, that we are, you know, made in his image, yet obviously like very limited human biological images in, you know, God's image. But what are like kind of that cascading effect of like, because it's designed this way and this is what God has to say about it, here's what we experience as adults, but then what are the implications then for our kids? It's just such a good read. I would highly recommend it. And I'll link this website in the show notes for today. Cause if you're looking for like a deeper biblical understanding of what does God say on the subject, there's a lot of really great notes there, which I think absolutely back up everything that you've just mm-hmm. described, babe, as far as like, what have the implications been on culture?
Yep.
What does it look like? What does a breakdown of trust look like inside of a relationship where people are having sex before marriage? There's so much context, I would say, for why this is such an important conversation.
Well, the main thing to me, one of the main things is sex after marriage is so different than sex before marriage, because sex before marriage is mostly driven out of like lust, out of, what I can get out of it. Sex after marriage, the thing is if you have a good sex life after marriage, it's not hypersexual. It's not like the two of us were just in this moment and all of a sudden you got to sex, right? It's because you built up trust. It's
right.
It requires me. Sex after marriage requires me to show up emotionally. It requires me to meet your deepest needs. It, it requires you to, like, if we're going to have connected sex, it's all, sex after marriage is driven towards connection.
Right.
And the thing is, like, if you train yourself ahead of time to just self-gratify, you destroy your sex life after marriage.
Right.
And so, man, when people go down that road, like, if you've gone down that road, if you're married, if you're married and you guys had sex before marriage, the chances that your sex life is amazing right now is pretty slim because of the driving force behind and how different they are. And so to me, it's like a lot of couples, I'm watching them have to go back and repair and repent and relearn to build trust. So it's like sex after marriage, I am connecting to you emotionally, like we talked about. I'm doing a lot of things that that make you feel safe and heard and seen and known and understood and vice versa. And so a lot of couples that I've seen where, man, sex before marriage was a big part of their relationship. Once they get married, the driving force is so different. And that's they realize, like, we were never actually really connected before marriage. Right. I don't actually hardly feel like you know me or you know me or I know you, because the driving force is so different.
Absolutely. And that's a great case, right? To make for people who are going to be married soon, because people ask, like, well, we're getting married in a month. What's the problem? I think everything that you just shared, that is the problem, because ultimately you want to go into marriage with a really firm foundation of trust. You want to go into marriage knowing that you both have the ability to delay gratification. You want to go into marriage with a foundation that says our connection is about so much more than just our sexual intimacy. And so, I mean, absolutely. Like, is it worth the wait? Yes, no doubt. Even if you're getting married tomorrow, it's worth the wait.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. It's like opening up your Christmas presents in August.
Yeah.
You're like, I just want these presents. Well, ultimately you're like, when your kids do that, you're like, oh, all you were thinking about was you. It was just a selfish act, right? It wasn't about the building connection, taking care of the family.
True.
You know, what you can give. You came just to get something.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what your relationship's going to be, right? Is it's going to be this selfish driven relationship that's going to be really disappointing.
Yeah.
When, as a man, I am always driven to protect. My main role in marriage is to protect, provide, and promote. That's the role of a man in marriage: protect, provide, and promote. And I'm constantly thinking about that. And so as a man, if I don't protect, provide, and promote, I'm creating so much insecurity inside of our relationship, which innately is going to make you either want to run or control.
Uh-huh.
And guys who protect, provide, and promote, who really do a great job at that, they also experience a wife that can trust them.
Yeah.
And so she's not overbearing. She's not trying to control all the time. She's a great partner. But when you don't do a great job of providing, protecting, and promoting, which, by the way, guys, is not just get a haircut and get a real job. It's not just money. Provision is that emotional, spiritual, physical connection. It is that. Like, I have to provide a safe place for Lauren to connect to me. It's my job to create that, to bring peace to chaos. And when I do a great job at that, now all of a sudden I give a place for you to flourish. I give a place for you to follow and to respect me, but also to attach to me like Velcro. And when I don't do that, it just creates a bunch of chaos in there. So if when guys are like, we're going to be married, I literally was sitting in the car one day and my friend's wedding was coming up in like 2 months. And he said to me, gosh, why, like, what's the point in waiting? And I said to him, dude, your wife right now, your girlfriend right now is looking at you and she's going, can I trust you? What foundation are we going to build on? are you going to be a man that she looks at in a hard time, right? Because marriage isn't easy. In a hard time, is she going to look at you and go, he doesn't waver. His yes is his yes. I know I can trust him. That's what you're working for.
Absolutely.
On top of all the other stuff that we've talked about, are you going to start out your marriage by having a really great foundation, or are you going to start out your marriage by going, man, I wish we wouldn't have done all that stuff?
Absolutely. So two things. What happens if you're in a dating relationship or you're engaged and you have had premarital sex? And, or what if you've just had a bunch of premarital sex? You're not even dating. You're not like, what if you're in that camp of, wow, I've kind of blown it in this area of my life. Like,
yeah, I've messed up. God restores all things, right? It doesn't say that God refurbishes. It says that he makes all things new.
Yep.
And so to me, like, you got to get back in the fight. You got to go and repent, which means to change the way that you think. Ask God to restore you emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, and just make a simple prayer. Lord, would you return back to those people what I took from them? And would you get back from them what I gave them and break that soul tie? Lord, would you break that soul tie between us? And to me, those are some of the big keys, right? Is that we would be able to restore yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally.
Yeah.
And we have seen, I have literally have seen physical restoration of a woman's hymen. Uh-huh. Sorry, I shouldn't say I've seen. I have heard so many testimonies over the years of it physically being restored with women that were sexually active, and then men being completely restored emotionally and mentally. And so to me, that's the deal, right? Is going back, repenting, and then getting back on track again.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Amazing. This episode is fire.
Yeah, it's great.
This is a great conversation.
It is.
Guys, listeners, I just challenge you, get this episode out, spread it far and wide. People need to know these things.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's an important conversation.
Listen, y'all, if you're on that marriage journey, if you're married and you're trucking down that road, we want to partner with you. We want to help you grow a strong, healthy marriage. We have our marriage intensive that's out. It's going to launch when, babe?
Well, registration is open. The first date of the intensive is April 16th. And so, hop over to jasonandlaurenvalatin.com for registration information.
Yeah. Otherwise, y'all, have an incredible week. We would love it if you would like and subscribe to this podcast and also leave a comment. Those comments help so much. Otherwise, have an incredible week. See y'all.